And this is the Podcasteria Blacklist podcast for this week's episode, Orion Relocation Services, number 159. I am Brian, joined by Dave. And for those of you listening, as the episode airs, we're a little behind, but we're catching up. So
thank you for your patience, everybody.
Yeah.
It's the holidays. Had some holiday parties and some family things going on. And yes, thank you for your patience.
Yeah, but we got it.
We hope to do it justice by giving you a good show.
I know, the penultimate, I guess, episode of the fall season. And we get some, a lot of background, a lot of kind of revisiting Dominic's story, kind of in other ways, though some of it exactly as we saw it a year ago or last season. So lots going on in this one. I mean, we get the explanation what the Orion Relocation Services is, because not only are they just this place where they are hide fugitives and people who need, you know, like a witness protection for bad people, but they do it in awful ways by killing people and placing people in their lives.
Assuming their identity, yeah.
Which again, you know, goes along with our theme of the season, but this is something we've kind of seen before. I am remembering an episode of people being killed on a plane several seasons back, and somebody else was taking their identity. I have this memory of that episode. I can't remember the rest of that episode to go dig it up. But I remember this happening where people, you know, they would find somebody who has a likeness and use this kind of technique, I guess, to insert, you know, the criminal into somebody else's life. And they're usually finding people who have no other connections, so nobody else would recognize that the real person's missing. But that gives us insight into how Katerina gets to DC under this assumed identity, which makes me wonder why. I mean, why does she need to? You know, she's been on the run forever and seems to have some resources, and why would she need to use this service to get placed?
That's kind of like my number one question. It does the background checks. It does the reason to get into the apartment. Kind of all the dotted I's and you know,
cross T's,
even better.
But even then, it gives you that interesting in the beginning, because we get that 9 weeks ago, this is how Katerina gets placed in DC, and we get this line where she calls her bodyguard guy and says, "We're going to be neighbors with Miss Keen." Interesting that she chose to refer to her that way.
Yeah,
because it was. Again, we're playing with names, we're playing with pronouns, kind of like what we talked about a little bit last week, with just who is this Katerina person? And even though we kind of get some sort of information on that, we get a lot of questions in this episode to go along with that, I think. And we'll go into that as we go through the episode. So that being said, let's go through the episode. What are some of the thoughts you had, if you want to jump in, where we get started here?
Just to jump on the bad guy of the week, they were pretty they were quite, you know, a vehicle to get from point A to point B. I don't think that they have any real major bearing on the story.
No, given how important they are, though, to this criminal underground and being a service, it's interesting. One of our listeners posted on Facebook that wouldn't Red
not know about them?
Yeah, wouldn't Red know about them and maybe even
have used them?
Yeah, because I mean, it seems like he had an awful, real hard time of in need to locate them and to get information on them and to make a connection with them as the guy who has his finger on every button, so to speak. He seemed to have no information on this organization and needed the FBI's help to do it, and that was kind of odd, because this definitely seems like an organization that Red would have some connection to.
Given
that he puts people into hiding on his own often, you'd think he would know that this company, being basically a competitor in a way, is out there, that he could find a way to either absorb into his organization or bring down, and why all of a sudden he's just now hearing of them. It seems like something he wouldn't be, you know, well-versed in.
Right.
But yeah, I think they're done and gone. The actress who played the leader of that organization, I've seen her. She's awfully familiar by looks, but I couldn't place her. I looked in some of her IMDb and didn't know her from anything specific, but I feel like I've seen her before.
Some type of character actress for something. Yeah.
But with that, Red uses the FBI to get information on this organization and, you know, so that they can meet who their next client is, so that Red can, you know, buy off that client to get information to meet them again. Real weird that it Red needed to go through all that work to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like they just wanted to do a did that dinner feel like what was that movie? I think it was called The Freshman with Matthew Broderick and Marlon. Was it Marlon Brando?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
remember where they were going to eat the Komodo dragon, and they ended up just serving chicken anyway. Right. Everybody thought it was great. And at the end, you see him walking the dragon. I actually thought the dinner was kind of nice, and I'll tell you, that's the best. You know, that's the best Liz has looked in a long time. She had a very Princess Leia, very, very, you know, she's not an unattractive woman, and we're not trying to get into that, but it was nice to see her dolled up a little bit.
Yeah, it was a nice,
I don't know if that's a good choice of words. Apologies, listeners, if it's not.
No, I know what you mean though, but yeah, she looked really good in that.
He always looks good, so we can't fawn on him enough.
And it was this kind of neat little scene that really was just a stepping stone for Red to get more information on the Orion, because basically they needed to go to this underground where there was this art dealer who, you know, hires the criminal that they're trying to find, who has stolen artwork in the past or attempted to steal artwork in the past for him. And so that they can get in touch with her. She was, where did I write down her name? Sophia Burke. And she was going to take the identity of this Denise Young, who Orion was setting her up in that life. Again, it was just means to an end.
But it was. But that was a neat. I enjoyed that better than the rest of the Orion.
Yeah, it was just
story.
It was fun little scenes, but in the end, it was a lot of scenes that just are central to this episode and don't really have any bearing on anything moving forward. So I don't know if we'll dig deep into that, because in the end, Red ends up getting to the woman in charge, but because of the circumstances, she ends up getting shot by this Denise Young and is unable to give Red any information before she dies. But during this, with Liz being involved and saying, I'm going to be there with Red, because if this has anything to do with Agnes and people, these Russians, because she's, you know, she got the video surveillance, or not surveillance, the video from the birthday party at the park that happened to have this blurred picture in the background where some guy and some criminal investigative
unit, pretty sure that was a Bigfoot picture, just turned around and facing the other way.
Exactly. I don't know how anybody picked that, looking at that picture, anything out of that.
Enhance.
Yeah, zoom and enhance technology. But yeah, they were able to get information that, you know, linked it to that Russian little mob group that Red ended up killing the leader of when Red rescued the MI6.
MI6 guy, yeah.
It was just tying up loose ends to the season that we've had so far, little bits to it, but it's just kind of funneling us into what our fall finale is going to be next week. Just kind of tying up all this.
We still have one more? I thought this was the fall finale.
No, we got the one more next week. So.
Oh, even better. All right, here we go.
Yeah, so yeah, we get a nice cliffhanger at the end of this episode, but it's going to get us into next week, and then that will cliffhang. So either we're going to get resolution to Katarina's storyline, or we're going to get even 100 more questions, which is what I think is going to happen. We'll get 100 more questions, and then we'll get a six-week break before we get back to the show end of January.
All right, so we got everything out of the way. We want to get into the bulk, get into the meat now.
Yeah, so we got the Ilya.
Not the owl meat.
Yeah, not the owl meat. And will Red keep the owl?
No, he's terrified of it.
I know, he was terrified of it. He's like, oh, God, no, I'm terrified of it. But I do love that, because it's like we're hearing that, you know, this owl's going to be killed, this dinner sequence, and Red all of a sudden like turns the lights on. He's like, are you all insane?
I love that scene. The whole dinner scene was awesome.
There are like 400 of these left on the planet, and we're all going to eat it? No, that's not how it's going to work.
Go get a chicken.
All right, but anyway, we have Ilya, where we last left him last week, being tied down, is going to be used.
Memory interrogated.
Yeah, so kind of like this form of hypnosis where he's being fed this cocktail of drugs that's going to make him susceptible to relive his memories and just kind of, like through hypnosis, just walk us through what he remembers. But it has its side effects, can be dangerous, especially if he rejects the suggestions to give up the memories, which we saw a couple occasions where this doctor had to ease up on it or even bring him out of it, so to speak, because he was going to convulse and die. So, you know, but typical drug cocktail memory interrogation that we've seen in...
Yeah, typical Hollywood.
In Hollywood before.
Yeah. Like Ant-Man had one very, very similar to it.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, it's True Lies. I mean, it's just, we've always seen it, so.
Yeah. So did you, were you like super excited when Red showed up at Liz's apartment? Like, oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Here we go. It's going to be a gunfight. It's going to be battle. And it's just going to be action all the way out and a big long car chase, like full Italian job stuff. And no.
No, he just has coffee with her. Although he did, when he does meet with her there, he and Dembe come in and Liz is kind of, you know, trying to go back over, who's this woman in Paris? I know you don't want to tell me. It's, and I'm glad as it works it out that she kind of knew, but was hoping to get some verification before she jumped to the conclusions. But had she just jumped to the conclusion, could this woman have been my mother or something like that? You know, it, to gauge Red's response rather than try to... play around with that, because
she didn't want it to be, and she didn't want him to lie to her.
Right.
She doesn't. She tries not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, okay, so there's a woman in Paris. She's trying to kill you. All the Russians are after her. Nah, don't know who this is.
And then I find out that Russians are after, or in the park when Agnes is there. Yeah. So what's all going on here?
Yeah.
And in that conversation, we get Red talking about, you know, I need your help. We got to get Orion Relocation Services. A man who is like a brother to me has been taken.
Yeah, I wrote that down too.
And that
man she's taken is like a brother to me.
That was said a couple times.
Yeah.
So that's being beaten home for a reason. But then Liz, you know, through her questioning, though, about who this woman is and what's going on, Red starts to realize that something might be going on that he hasn't been told about what's going on with her, such as with Agnes. He doesn't know that this thing happened at the park. And that Agnes saw...
How does he not have his own security detail on her?
Exactly. And they do mention in this episode that isn't the FBI watching? Like Red says, isn't the FBI watching you constantly?
Yeah.
So, yeah, some real oddities, you know, because Liz is the only person that has seen Maddie or Katerina throughout this whole sequence, so nobody's put it together that she's anybody other than Liz's neighbor.
Right.
But yeah, that gets us back into what's going on across the hall. So Ilya's we're going back through Dom's story. So we get the, you know, the last time Ilya saw it when he found out Katerina was still alive. And I like how it's presented with him kind of like as a fly in the wall view of what's going on.
Hold on here. The day when Katerina Rostova said she was alive. I think I wrote that down. Mm-hmm. Go on.
We're going to get all of this.
We're getting all up in this business.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. He recalls the meeting with her when she contacted him at the embassy needing help. There's the conversation that he has with Katerina in that flashback about somebody becoming Reddington, and they're very careful not to show throughout this episode Katerina in the flashbacks
or Reddington. They only showed two people.
Right. They're very careful not showing her face throughout. Yep. You get one little bit of it early, but it's blurry. It's as he is going into hypnosis is coming into focus, but you don't really get a good look at her. So very careful not to show us what she looked like back then. I'll get to that later, but I think that's absolutely intentional.
I think I know where you're going with that.
We'll get there. But anyway, the talk about becoming Reddington, and then, you know, so Katerina, you know, sitting there watching the interrogation under hypnosis, starts asking questions, asking about, well, who is that person that's supposed to become Reddington? Well, if you were there, you would know. So, so clue in here that that's that she doesn't know. This Katarina, whoever this woman is, or if it is Katarina or not, doesn't know the plan.
She's not fully aware of who Reddington is. Yeah. Yep.
And there's a lot of confusion throughout all this flashback stuff, and we're going to continue to get through it. But that's kind of part number one here. And Ilya starts to resist giving that memory and starts to have one of his issues. So they decide to try another technique to get at the memory, which is to have her kind of be under hypnosis.
She was under with
well
him. Yeah.
To,
very divergent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which was weird because I don't know if it really matters because she could just, does she need to be under hypnosis to do it? Can she just do it through the question? Because she was questioning him in the first attempt.
Yeah.
Over the shoulder of the doctor guy. So.
Eh, it's Hollywood. It's bigger than all of us. But did you, like, she was in his memory, but she wasn't actually there, right? That was how. It wasn't like she was re-speaking as herself through the memory. It was like she was forcefully implanting herself into his memory.
Right. She was almost there kind of like observing through his.
Yeah, like what ghost in his own memory. Yeah.
Correct. She wasn't in there recalling what she remembers. She was in there more as a kind of like a little bit of a guide to ask him questions and try to help him divulge whatever it is she's trying to find out, which is, you know, more about the plan and all that. So anyway, she goes in to help him with the memory. And then it's, and she, there's this little meeting at like a cafe or something in Belgrade where Ilya and Dom are talking about their plan and that the Townsend directive, and they reference Neville Townsend. So is that the guy that was going after? Because that, it's not a Russian name. Because that's not the Russian guy that was going after Katarina.
No, we don't. I don't think we've heard Townsend. This is the first time we've heard Neville Townsend, but that's the first time we've gotten that kind of a name.
So Dominic is worried that Townsend directive though is going to go after Masha as leverage to get to Katarina. So he's concerned about that. Figures the only way to really save Masha is to have Katarina die. Now we do know through this it's his daughter because Dom and Ilya talk about, you know, that they had leaked that Katarina was holding sensitive intel so that all these people would be going after her. Like they were setting it up so that she's got a target and setting up the whole incident, where they would do the car bomb and that they would kill Katarina in the eyes of all these people who have things to gain by her death so that everybody would see she's dead and everybody can move on. Masha's safe and life goes on. Unfortunately, it doesn't go as planned. And we have, and in this particular scene, never see Katarina's face.
Never see her face.
Ever, ever. And she's fighting with a man. I mean, but during this, you know, present day Katarina is really upset. This was my husband. This was, you know, somebody I love very dearly. And he couldn't trust that I'm going back to this life that I have been leading. And he insisted that he would go with me. And he gets in the car and it blows up and he dies and she gets knocked unconscious. Some people from in the homes come and take her in. But again, so she's visibly upset here. So
in modern
time.
Yeah.
Like I said, the
woman in modern was the woman in the flashback,
right? But they,
yes,
they
I do believe that.
But they specifically didn't show this woman in the flashback. The actress who played Katarina in the Katarina episodes that we saw last season and the season before, it was. We don't know if it was that actress because we never got a clear look at that actress's face. So it kind of made me think about your theory about the other. Russian lady at the rescue home,
right at the rescue church,
and could
there
be that connection there? And I would not be surprised. I agree that they have been working together along the way.
They Katarina and fake Katarina,
yeah, and that maybe for real Katarina to be safe, she has gone into super deep hiding, and fake Katarina is pretending to be real Katarina to divert attention.
And just get some of the benefits of
being
money and, yeah.
Like, somebody
doesn't understand what she's getting into, yeah.
But, and has all of a sudden become, you know, this criminal mastermind in her own right. But, yeah, gosh, so much through all that. But then, you know, again, after that, you know, Ilya wants to tell Reddington what happened, that he needs to know. And he says that I need to tell Reddington what happened. This is what he tells in the flashback to Dom. He needs to know. And this is where present day Katarina, you know, she is like the phone rang when Liz was calling her.
Yeah.
Because Liz wants to her to keep an eye on Agnes. And it's when she, you know, she starts yelling at hypnotized Ilya, why are you protecting this man? And she also kind of goes into the, why are you protecting him? Why is he more important than me? I don't know. It's intentionally confusing is the only thing I can say about it. I think all this that's going on is intentionally confusing so that we have no idea what we're seeing. And we're just going to try to let our brains make sense of it by saying, oh, well, this clearly is Katarina. These are her and the memories. We've gotten the answers we need to look for, but I'm not convinced. And I don't think you are either.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I think it's like this season, like this show has done since season one. They're going to, every year, where they point us in this direction that they want us to be in, only to, you know, pull it out from under us with some reveal later, which we'll get next week. I think we will get something next week that's going to be right at the end, that's going to be our cliffhanger that we got to, you know, chew on for 6 weeks.
You don't think they'll resolve it?
No, because if this is not Katarina, then it ain't over. And if it is Katarina, I don't think it's over.
Katarina, but I think the real Katarina could be dead. She could have walked into the sea and killed herself.
And this,
based on the Cape May.
And then this other woman assumed the identity. Okay, but with all that said, we did get some sense as to, you know, why present day Katarina is upset with Dom and maybe not calling him father. In some ways, it's just that he was the one that kind of had the order to kill her, to kill his own daughter. Which
she wouldn't know that.
Would she or wouldn't she? I mean, she seems to know that now, but, you know, that is that's something that, which is contradictory to what Dom was saying to Red. You know, you were the one that took my daughter away from me. You know, you're the reason I no longer have a daughter. Was what they were saying in that episode when Red went to Dom last season and asked, I need to know everything you told. So, I don't know. But in this flashback here that Ilya is giving us, he's claiming that it was Dom's plan all along in order to protect Masha was to have Katarina killed. I guess. But yet, if we go back to last season, Dom knew to go to the post office to get the letter that was in that box.
Yeah, but that was from his wife.
Yeah, it was sent to his wife, wasn't it?
That was from his wife.
Maybe. I thought it was to his wife. From Katarina.
It's all confusing.
That's
now
what I mean. We still don't have all the answers. So I think everything that was given to us yesterday, I'm treating it very similarly to how we treated Dom's episode. Was like, hey, this is a great reveal with a bunch of stuff that we're giving us. I still don't think this is the whole truth. So it's kind of like that saying with, you know, the three sides to every story, you know, yours, mine, and the truth. And I think we've gotten yours and mine now. Now, you know, we had Dom's version of it.
Dom's version was, I mean, he said it's a charade, you know. Yep. This one, I think everything we got in it was the truth. It just wasn't the truth we think it is.
Right.
Again,
right.
Hiding the face, you know, that type of thing.
That's real key. I think that's real key that we need to point out. And I'm guessing a lot of people picked up on that. I've read a few kind of reviews of the episode, not recaps, just a little bit of reviews where they've, you know, picked out little bits, and they were saying very much the same thing, that it was real interesting that we didn't see that character, the actress's face.
Like if it was like a, hey, we couldn't get her for this episode, they would have tried to find a previous scene, unused or reused, even a previous scene, just to get her face in it.
Right, but very, very carefully showed just from behind. So yeah, that was evident there.
A babushka on at one point too, right? I mean, you know, she had the whole scarf over her head and.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it kind of, so all of that then leads us to where the back to present day with FBI having the Orion files, and they're like, okay, we're going to go through the files. We got all the pictures of the people that were linked to the people that they replaced, and we're going to go through that together. Red knows who he's looking for. Liz doesn't know who she's looking for, but I kind of saw that coming a million miles away, that Liz was going to be the one to find it first. And she, you know, hid the picture knowing she's, of course it's my nanny. That makes perfect sense. It's all makes sense now. You know, where she came of, and she had the flashbacks to all the things that, you know, Maddie said to her, Katerina said
to her. Be closer to my daughter. You're just like my granddaughter. Oh,
But interesting how she says you're just like my granddaughter, not actually saying you remind me exactly of my granddaughter, or you look just like my. Yeah, just.
That's splitting hairs, but.
But that's what we.
And you're right. You're right. In this case, it's, you know, words matter.
Yeah.
You know?
So anyway, Liz goes home, checks on Agnes, makes sure she's asleep, puts a silencer on her gun, and confronts Katerina. Now, something was brought up to remind us earlier in the episode that is going to come into play at the end of this episode, which I think will come into play next week. It didn't actually happen at the end of this one, but will come into play next week, was reminding us that Agnes has the doll that has the microphone in it. So, and that Agnes is going to take the, she doesn't go anywhere without the doll. And they're like, oh, she's going to have the doll in the apartment. We won't be able to hear what's going on over there. Well, obviously the doll's back in the apartment now. And while, so I'm thinking the whole time, okay, Liz is confronting Katerina, saying all these things. Dude is listening across the hall to this whole thing. He's going to come in. The episode's going to end with him knocking Liz out from behind.
Oh, good call.
And saving
good
it. Call. And I wrote that down. The doll's in the apartment, and Katerina's bodyguard guy's got to be listening across the hall. That didn't happen, but I bet that happens early, like in the pre-credits.
Yeah, it's set up for it to happen.
Yeah, because they reminded us of that doll at the beginning of the episode for a reason. There's no point otherwise to remind us of it, other than to lead then that Liz, no matter what she's saying in her home, isn't kept quiet. Somebody else is listening.
Yeah.
Confronts her. Now, Katerina, you know, Liz confronts her, saying that, you know, they're obviously not after Agnes. They're not after Maddie, because Maddie would never do any of these things. They're after Katerina Rostova. I know who you are now. And we get the I'm your mother thing and.
Fade to black.
So. Yeah. And not kind of how I think Liz wanted to finally meet her mother. But it seems like Liz is awfully, you're messing with my daughter now. I don't even care if you are my mother. Kind of attitude.
You may have been the woman that gave birth to me, but I have no idea who you are.
Right. Liz is having that. And all along, if you think about, you know, if we go back to any of the flashbacks we've had involving Katerina, back with the Mr. Kaplan flashbacks and so forth, Masha was the world to her. And she seems so uninterested in the fact that it's Liz. It doesn't really feel like she's trying to truly reconnect with Liz. She's just trying to get information so that she can get Ilya, so she can find out what's going on. This has nothing to do with reconnecting with Liz and finally being with her daughter, which again is evidence against, could be
her,
evidence
her
against
being Katerina.
Her being Katerina, because there's no connection here with this Katerina and wanting to be closer to Liz, and this is the daughter that, you know, she gave up everything for. So still, like I said, I feel like this episode was definitely presented and everything it gave us as an episode where the viewer would come away thinking, wow, that was a lot of answers, but I think it was very few answers and added on questions.
They're not the answers you think they are. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The answers you got, I don't think are the answers you think they are. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. So, so we're going to go into next week. I do know what the title, should we spoil it? I mean, it doesn't matter. The title of next week's episode.
Isn't it?
It is Katerina Rostova.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And it's got a single digit number.
Ooh. Which we know it's got to be like three, right?
It's three. So yeah, good call. So, so that's that. So, that'll be next week. And now we've had, episodes, before where it was named as a person, but this, the storyline of that person doesn't resolve and it could go on.
Oh yeah. Go on for many episodes. Yeah.
It could go on for quite a while. So
the Highlander episode last year went on.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, it was two episodes that were 6 weeks apart or something.
Yeah, the Chris Lambert stuff. So I think that's what we're getting. Whatever, just because it's her named, I don't think we get resolution to that storyline. I think this is going to continue throughout the season, but I think we're going to get a big reveal next week, probably somewhere along the lines with some of the things that we've been guessing. Because it's got to be a powerful cliffhanger to go into the fall. We don't come away with this as a happy ending tomorrow.
I think this will be one of the biggest cliffhangers we've had in the series, short of Kaplan getting shot.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to be one of those, we get right up to the last 5 minutes thinking we know everything, and then something happens and it completely throws everything this season out of whack, and we're like, and so keep questioning, because I think all the questions that we have and the skepticism we have to the show writers for what they're trying to pull, I think will be validated with this next episode. I think we're going to, come away with like, see, that's why we said, don't trust the pronoun game. Don't trust what you're seeing. And it's definitely following a script of this whole season where nobody is who they appear to be. And they've beaten that home every episode.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Every episode. So that's going to really come to a head next week, and then we'll lead us right into the winter spring season where things really speed forward, and then we'll figure out kind of what the goal of the show is from here. Is it, because again, we don't know much details on the future of the show. Show's doing fine, ratings wise it's right up there with last year, so they seem to like their time slot. So the show's doing fine with that. So if we're going to get a renewal, if we're getting renewed for another season, I think we find out during the break, because they're going to have to, because if NBC is going to be like, hey, FYI, show creators, this is it, then they're going to need to film out their storyline.
Right. They're going to finish it out now.
Otherwise they'll be like, all right, we're going to give you a whole nother year. Therefore the spring season can continue with whatever storyline they wanted to continue with. The show creators said in an interview before the season they got enough stuff to go three more years if they wanted. So it really all, it's the network's choice at this point. And as we've seen before, networks are finicky. They're bean counters. They don't care about story. They care about ratings.
What's going to pull in the ratings? I mean, A, they've got to have something else they want to replace it with. They're going to feel like whatever is going to go up against a long running mystery show after 7 years can beat it. That has a decent following.
Yeah. And they're into syndication, number of episodes. I mean, this is not like a show that needs to go on much longer. 7 years is a long time for a TV show. That's like this kind where there's huge, it's built, largely based on story arc and not on just week to week, small stories. So it's something to consider, that. So I'm hoping we find out soon, because then in a way for us, as we analyze the episodes, we can analyze them based on either we're coming up to the end of the series or just up to the end of a season. And that there's still more story to be told. And I think I read somewhere too that James Spader's contract with the show ends this year, but he's a producer on the show. And if he still wants to make money and continue to do the show, I don't see a reason why he wouldn't, re-up for
everything I've seen. He's enjoying it. So, and right. that goes a long ways.
Yep. So, that would depend there too. So, okay. Any other last thoughts on the storyline tonight? What's your thoughts for next week? I think
not on storyline tonight. I do have an email we got a couple weeks ago. I want to talk about.
Go for it.
I believe I sent this to you. I'm pretty sure this is actually from our longtime listener, Tom, which he usually talks to us on Facebook, but he sent us an email this time. And I had to laugh because his theory is dead on about you don't do in order to make something believable, you have to establish it's possible.
Yes.
Very simply. And the example he used was Doctor Who,
which used a lot.
We talk about Doctor Who all the time. We are big Doctor Who fans. I will use Harry Potter.
Yep.
With Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, that the whole concept of the port key at the end had already been established at the beginning in a more peaceful, you know, acceptable way. So that when it happened at the end, it was like, oh, I've already seen this as opposed to something new. And that is his belief that Red Arena is not the solution.
The gender
because
change.
We have not seen a gender reassignment happen. We've seen lots and lots and lots of cosmetic surgery all the way back to season one, the Andrew Dice Clay episodes. I mean, they talked about it flat out, or episode, it was only one. You know, did you tell anybody about the work that I've had done? I think I was pretty close to the line. So, you know, the cosmetic stuff, but the gender reassignment has never, ever, ever been established as a line in the show. So Tom is dead on.
Right.
We don't like the Red Arena theory anyway, but this is,
no, we don't like it, but it's got legs, and that's why we keep bringing it up, to satisfy those viewers that do buy into it. I agree with him there. I think they've done a couple things this season that, like I mentioned, that kind of have the show go in this like little weird sci-fi direction, such as the all-knowing AI episode, and then the episode with the we're going to make men pregnant. If anything, though, it could be teasing the idea of some possibilities of things that are not fully recognized in real world, and that they're placing these things into the show world that could lead to that, but that's not, I agree absolutely. They haven't given us any reason to believe prior that that's something that's holding in this universe.
Now, things that, just a little bit of counter on that is that we know that Katarina had some sort of romantic relationship with Kaplan, even though it may have never been acted upon. There was
attraction.
So there is some, you know, thoughts on that. We know that Red and Kaplan dated a couple of sisters or something. If you remember them, remember those two sisters we dated up in Lake Campeshaw or whatever it was. There's a comment on that, you know. There's been little like lines like that, but that's about as close as we've got.
I'm just gonna throw this way out of left field. We never saw Kaplan's body?
But fell into.
It was not a very long fall off that bridge into a river.
Well, I felt like it was a death fall.
Okay. I mean, we're led to believe as such, and I'm quite content moving on that she's definitely dead. But we never actually saw a body in that.
No,
we never got a scene.
Trying to think if we ever saw a recovery or anything.
Yeah, we never. I don't recall ever getting a scene where they show the body being, you know, zipped up,
drug out, and
hauled away. So, just something to throw out there. Yeah. But I agree with the email 100%, and I don't want gender reassignment to be the reason.
It's not about the politics. We could give a shit. Neither of us care enough about it. It's just too easy.
Now we could have sibling stuff though. Still, we did get the reference of like a brother to me thing. So could Ilya have a brother that took the identity of Raymond Reddington? Because now we don't know who took the identity of Raymond Reddington. Could he have a brother, or could there be somebody connected within, you know, his KGB connections there? That's why they are very close. Because we don't get the sense from the flashbacks we had up until this point that Ilya was very close to the real Raymond Reddington.
Ilya kind of came out of nowhere. In every story, right. It's been a, oh my goodness, we were friends as kids. We haven't talked in years. It's kind of the impression that I got, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Came out of nowhere last year during the Dominic story and has been a, it has been written in as a very important character, into this, so much so that they have the modern day representation of him to kind of throw us all for a loop just to show that Dom's story was nonsense,
which we should have seen. We honestly, that was right fricking in front of us. And it's really bizarre that we didn't catch that,
that we didn't call it out. Right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It makes perfect sense, and then still continues to keep us in the dark as to who Red is. But again, in the flashback that Ilya gives us this week, mentions, you know, Reddington needs to know, and refers to it as Reddington needs to know, not Jack, who I got playing Reddington needs to know, but calling him Reddington. So
yeah, called by his name, and they've been so careful about names.
Right. So,
names and pronouns. And yeah,
this is not a show where they let the actors just kind of say what they want. There is specific dialogue written a certain way that needs to be said a certain way to lead to it. And that just keeps us going. So I don't know what we get next week. My guess is I think Katerina's still alive. I still don't buy that this woman is Katerina.
Okay. So you think she's alive. I think she's dead.
And I think
that's good.
And I think she shows up.
Oh, Mother Hen shows up, all kinds of pissed. All right.
Yeah. I think
I do too, but I think she does it in the form of a poltergeist.
we get ghost.
Ghost that Reno. Looks like Jimmy Hoffa.
you and your Hoffa.
One listener out there going, shut the fuck up.
To settle you on your Hoffa binge, just go to Netflix and watch The Irishman. That is all about Hoffa. And you could
Is that what that's about? Yeah. I didn't know.
And
okay.
You could have your 3.5 hour Hoffa fix and you'll be all set. So, but if you all have any thoughts or ideas on what happened this week and what's going to happen in the fall finale, let us know. Email us at blacklist@podcastderby.com or hit us up on Facebook or Twitter at podcast.
The Twitter.
Also, if you get the show on Apple Podcasts, go ahead and leave us a review. We do appreciate that. So that is going to do it for this week's episode. I am Brian, and he is Dave, and we'll see you all next week.
Good night, everybody.